Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service.
Estás escuchando The Fifth Floor.
The Fifth Floor dinliyorsunuz. Bizimle kalın.
Tumhi ekta The Fifth Floor farnak amidi sobat.
This is The Fifth Floor, at the heart of global storytelling with BBC journalists from all around the world. I'm your host, Farnak Amidi. When we think of a war between countries, we usually think of physical acts of conflict, like shellings or drone strikes. But over the past few years, governments and the media have been using the phrase war in the gray zone. It refers to something that isn't an overt act of war, but it's not peaceful cooperation either, actions that are meant to meddle with or sabotage a country in some way. Many countries have accused Russia of this gray zone warfare. Grigor Atanasyan of BBC Russian has been exploring if, how, and why Russia might be waging war in the gray zone. Welcome to the Fifth Floor, Grigor.
Thank you.
So give us some examples of gray zone warfare. What kind of things are we talking about when we're talking about gray zone warfare?
So the clever definition of the gray zone warfare is an operational space between war and peace. And this could be cyber attacks, so hacking or taking down websites and even services, power grids. This could be stealing personal data. This could be trying to meddle into elections. Information operations, so your bots and trolls and deepfakes recently. And then sometimes even military action conducted through proxies, militias, with a level of deniability.
And a lot of countries, as I mentioned, have accused Russia of this kind of war against other countries. Can you give us some examples of instances that that people accused Russia of?
So to be fair, I think we should know that it's not only Russia, but Russia has been particularly imaginative and one can say successful in that. And obviously the most prominent example is the 2016 meddling into the U.S. presidential election, which was a great example of a gray zone campaign because it was very low cost. You know, you don't need too much money to hack websites or specifically spread rumors, disinformation, fake news on Twitter, on other social media. But the cumulative effect of that was that for years, Russia was dominating headlines and its profile as a global player, you know, it wants to see itself as superpower, was sustained through that. Even though, once again, it was a fairly cheap action. When obviously it's not just America, you know, French intelligence accused Russia of sustained cyber attacks, interference in the French elections. The French say it failed. And then obviously in the United Kingdom, perhaps the most prominent example was the 2018 Salisbury poisonings when the agents of Russian military intelligence were accused of poisoning British citizens on the British soil.
That is more of a physical act, a hostile act. Does that go under gray zone warfare as well?
Well, that's a very good question. And there is a debate inside the defense community. It's gray zone if it falls below the threshold of military response. And since the British government decided it is not worthy of a military response, Russia denies its responsibility.
In your recent article for the BBC, you talk about how Britain is preparing for such kind of attacks by Russia. When did you first hear about it? Why did you start looking into it?
So as we just discussed, Britain has been targeted before by Russian gray zone actions, but there's something new going on specifically near the British shores. So there have been concerns about the activity of Russian both research vessels and Navy vessels near both in the British territorial waters and the British exclusive economic zone. So since the beginning of this year, really, this has been consistently on the front pages of the British newspapers. Daily Mail even published a survival kit in the case for Russian attack. I hope you have your own at home assembled.
Not yet.
Yeah, no, me neither. but on a serious note, there was a front page investigation in the Sunday Times that alleged few things. So it said that Russian intelligence was probing British undersea infrastructure, which would include gas pipelines, telecommunication cables, which also transfer all the banking data, not just your TikToks across the globe. And then also that there may be even some sensors being installed on the undersea parts of the wind farms to spy on the British Vanguard-class nuclear-carrying submarines. And there was an allegation that the Russian oligarchs' super yachts were used to spy also on the critical
super yachts.
Super yachts, yeah.
Like personal super yachts.
Well, we need to know that all the sources in the story were anonymous, and this has not been officially confirmed by the British Ministry of Defense. But some politicians, especially opposition politicians, they allege that Britain is now in a gray zone war with Russia. This means a gray zone attack.
You are listening to The Documentary from the BBC World Service. I'm Farhanak Hamidi, and this is The Fifth Floor. Today we are discussing gray zone warfare and if and why Russia might be carrying it out. Grigor, we have a clip of BBC's political correspondent Laura Kunzberg interviewing the Russian ambassador Andrei Kellin. Let's have a listen.
When we last spoke 6 months ago, you said that the UK was waging an aggressive war against your country, against Russia. But new British intelligence has reported that there is what's called grey warfare, grey zone warfare, targeting underwater. Your country has put Russian sensors trying to track British nuclear submarines. Those are serious accusations, and that's an act of genuine hostility against the United Kingdom. Do you deny that?
I'm not going to deny it, but I wonder whether we really have an interest in following old British submarine with very old, outdated nuclear warheads. It is absolutely well known, everything is known, and all these threats are extremely exaggerated. They have taken out of the blue.
But you're not denying it.
You're
not denying it.
No, I'm denying existence of threat for the United Kingdom. This threat has been invented, absolutely. There is no threat at all from Russia to the UK.
Grigor, what do you make of that clip?
So we see the same playbook, the same happened with Salisbury poisonings. Russia was denying it, is denying it to this day, but now I think we have sufficient evidence linking the identities of the suspects to the Russian military intelligence, so they will always be denying it. Even if Russia is conducting those operations, Ambassador Kellin, with all due respect, probably won't be the one to be informed of them, maybe.
So, Grigor, what are some of the facts that people are basing this theory on, this threat of Russia?
Yeah, so the hard facts are that specifically two Russian research vessels, they have been spotted several times in the British territorial waters, specifically in proximity to critical undersea infrastructure. That has been happening recently, and that hasn't happened before. And there was a Royal Navy submarine that surfaced to track Yantar, and there have been other Royal Navy ships that were sent to track those vessels.
And why are these undersea infrastructures a source of insecurity for UK?
Well, experts say that among the developed nations, Britain is perhaps the one most dependent on undersea infrastructure. So you get, once again, have all the telecommunication cables going through the ocean. Then you have some 20% of the British natural gas supply coming from Norway. It's a undersea gas pipeline. You have the world's longest power cable connecting this island to Denmark, etc., etc. And that has increased in recent years. Even the British nuclear power stations are all located in coastal zones because their cooling systems are dependent on water from the ocean.
There is a department of the Russian Navy known by the acronym GUGI. How do you pronounce that?
I think people now say GUGI.
GUGI. They are often mentioned in reports of this potential sabotage that we've been talking about. Who are they and what is their relevance to these kind of stories?
It stands for the Russian Navy Main Directorate of Deep Sea Research. Officially, this department has a very nice sound in goal. So it's in charge of research, environmental monitoring, seabed exploration and rescue operations. Mm. Now, Western experts allege that it's actually Russian sort of maritime special operation force, that it conducts specifically classified special operations underwater. Mm. And we have evidence of that, particularly some very senior Russian Navy officers have been spotted on board of these ships, and specifically two of the ships that have been visiting British waters recently. They are thought to be the part of Gugi, although it's not confirmed officially, because Gugi officially almost sort of doesn't exist. So there is no publicly available information. It exists, but there is no publicly disclosed data on Gugi. It's super secretive.
Yeah. And there are also people who are quite skeptical about these threats. They don't actually think that these are actual real threats against Britain. What do they say?
I think there are two schools of thoughts. One, we've cited already that UK is already in a grey zone war with Russia, and the next step will be for Moscow to take acts of sabotage. The other school of thought is that Russia is putting on a show, is being belligerent, the same that happened with the election meddling. It is low cost to send a ship, you know, close to a critical cable, and then you get weeks of coverage in the British newspapers, and you have us talking about it on air of the BBC. And specifically, those experts have been taking apart some of the claims in the coverage made recently. So, for example, allegation of oligarchs' super yachts being used for espionage. They say, you know, Navy intelligence officers, they have very strong regulations. They would never trust an oligarch's super yacht where you have people, parties, you know, sparkling wine, all of those. You know, once again...
Sounds very James Bond.
Yes, yes, indeed. Which is probably not like...
You know, the real deal.
Yes, exactly. That. You don't have too many Daniel Craigs there. And then, once again, allegations of the Russian Navy or Russian merchant vessels installing those sensors on the wind farms to spy on the UK submarines. One expert told me, you have photographers in Scotland who photograph every time and submarine surfaces, and they post those photos online on X and other platforms. Russian military intelligence can just geolocate those photos, which are posted online, which would be much cheaper and easier and more reliable than install listening devices. But these experts, they don't say that Russia is not increasing its activities near the British waters. They say that its goal may be not to attack the UK in a conventional sense. It may be to put once again a show and confuse policymakers, confuse population, and once again sort of reinforce its status of a global superpower to be reckoned with. I think an element of this is that Russia likes to be seen as a global trickster, a nation or a power which is capable of disrupting normal life in any or all European nations at the same time whenever it wants. I think it's an image that it quite enjoys, even if it's not true. Even if Russia's conventional capabilities are below Western conventional capabilities, I think the Russian increased investment into the gray zone operation reflects the fact that when we are talking about conventional military power, not nuclear, but conventional, Russia is weaker than NATO. NATO has greater conventional military power. Mm-hmm. But through staging these operations, coming off as a global trickster, as this unpredictable rogue player, Russia sort of catches up on that difference.
Thank you, Grigor. Grigor Atanasyan from BBC Russian.
I'm Farhanak Hamidi. The Fifth Floor team this week was
Alicia Joya
and
Caroline Ferguson.
You've been listening to the documentary from the BBC World Service.